And I think really the ultimate God-sized dream is making life an intimate adventure with Jesus.
Mm.
You know, and what that looks like in each season is usually what we call the dream.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually just how the dream plays out. But I think the dream is God himself.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, fourth chair friends, we are glad to be back again with you. And this week we are going to talk about dreams, which I think can be a topic some people get really excited about. Some people get nervous. But around this time of the year, I think we're all thinking a little bit about dreams.
I think in our Facebook group page, More Than Small Talk, this is a question that has come up quite often. And so, Holly, this is kind of your wheelhouse. I'm going to ask a confession question in a moment. But before I do, I think we need to clarify this. What is a God-sized dream?
So a God-sized dream is a dream that perfectly fits the size of your heart. Mm. And so it's not about big. It's not about flashy. It's not about visible. It's not about Instagrammable. It's about saying, okay, God, what are you inviting me to say yes to in this season of my life?
Wow, that just completely changed it. Because I think when we do say God-sized dream, because you have a book called yes. God-sized Dreams. And do you also have a devotional on God-sized dreams?
Yep.
Is it a little book?
Mm-hmm.
So I was holding that in my hands the other day and somebody said, that's too small of a book with such a title like God-sized dreams, like it should fit a coffee table. Mm-hmm. But I love that you clarified that. So as you listen to this, our confession question today is, what is your God-sized dream?
Wow. Okay. So for me, this used to be such a faraway thing, this topic of God-sized dreams. And I feel like in a lot of ways, I'm living my God-sized dreams, but just continuing to do what God's called me to do, being able to have the funds to do that, just being able to focus on my kids and ministry. I think that that's my dream. And that's seems kind of vague, but that really is. It's ministry and family.
Yeah. You know, I've been in a weird season of pulling back from things that are familiar and that I've done for a long time because I have felt God speaking a dream into my heart for right now. Now, this is the interesting part. I have also run into a mountain called cancer, and suddenly my life is completely slowed down because I'm going into surgery. Actually, when this airs, I will have had surgery, and I will be in a place of waiting and recovery. And so I am really curious how this conversation is going to go because I have questions myself.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'd say in this season, I feel like God-sized dreams change. We think maybe it's one big thing, like God has one big dream for our lives, but I think it's different for every season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that I think is freeing to know. And I also wanted to say, if anyone's listening and they're thinking, I don't have a God-sized dream, because I've had a lot of people say that to me in the past as I've coached them. And I find it's almost always because they're already living God's dream for their lives.
That's really good.
You know? Yeah. It's like so much they're normal that they can't see it.
Right.
You know, that God's dream for them right now is raising their toddlers.
Can you give an example? Like what you just did.
Like being a stay-at-home mom. It's totally a God-sized dream. Being a working mom. Totally a God-sized dream.
Yeah.
Or I had a friend who said that because she was like, Holly, I'm just not a dreamer. Like, I'm not wired like you. I don't dream.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, what do you really love? And she was like, I love nurturing people and having them into my home. And I'm mentoring this younger woman. And I was like, that is your God-sized dream. You are a nurturer. And it's just so already woven throughout your life that it's hard for you to even see it because you're living it.
Yeah.
And so I would say if someone's listening saying this, I'm not sure about this, if I even have a dream, I would say you're probably already living it.
Yeah.
And for me, I've had different ones in different seasons in my life. As I look at 2020 specifically, I have a book about introverts coming out in the fall, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, me too.
So my big dream coming up is to help introverts everywhere embrace who they are and become all they're created to be.
Yes. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just share kind of the dream that God has been placing on my heart about 3 or 4 years ago. And we've shared this before. I found myself in kind of a cynical place. And I felt the Lord really saying, hey, listen, you can stay in the cynical place or you can become a part of the good. And so I started something called Together, and the emphasis is on the her in that, Together Projects. And over the last 3 years, we've had the beautiful privilege of wrapping around ministries that are founded by women for women who have no voice. And these are usually organizations and women who they feel their God-sized dream, they've stepped into it, and suddenly they're in the trenches, but it is huge. So I felt the Lord saying, hey, Suze, you and other women stand shoulder to shoulder, come around them and bring awareness to their ministry and bring funding to their ministry. And we've been able to do that now with about 6 projects. And so going into next year, I felt the Lord asking me to put down a ton of stuff so that could become a really primary focus.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's
my God-sized dream right now. And it feels far away right now because I'm in this place of recovery and rest and surgeries and mm-hmm. stuff. But it hasn't gone anywhere. And I'm still me and He's still speaking to me. So I feel like even this season, that there's value in it and it's part of the God-sized dream. And maybe that is the Lord is asking me to be still long enough that I can absolutely hear His voice. I don't know. I don't want to spiritualize this season I'm in. And yet I'm a believer. So I believe there's spiritual aspects of it.
And I think there's different phases of dreaming and that there are very active ones, but there's also resting. You know, I just read a book a friend gave me called Running Down a Dream. But I think we can also say resting for a dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
And recovery for a dream.
Yes.
Yeah. Recovery is a weird place to be because you can't do what you want to do. And yet you can't do what you want to do down the road unless you go through this recovery process. Right. Yes.
And Jennifer and I have actually been talking a lot about that lately, about the idea of going dormant.
Yes. Yeah. When I was just thinking about that, because, you know, when I looked at the episode for today and God-sized dream, I immediately panicked because I was like, I'm a dreamer and I couldn't think of anything. Mm-hmm. But like Colleen was saying, there is a season in your life where the dream, it seems like it's asleep. And before I was like, it would terrify me because I was like, maybe that dream is dead. But I had to realize that it was dormant and it just wasn't the right season or the right environment for that dream to come to life. You know, so maybe this time of recovery is your, you know, where your dreams need to be on pause or they need to sleep for a little bit so you can recover.
Yeah. You know. Like clarity is coming to me as we're talking, which is really good, which is why I love more than small talk, is I also have a group of women around me who are saying, hey, let me help. And I have no choice but to allow them to help and to invite them to help and let them run free with their giftings and their talents. And again, if there's something in this season that is a value, I think that's going to be really a value for me.
Yeah, I think so. Receiving help and surrender.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Surrender is always part of a dream.
We think of dream as due.
Right. Yeah, but you not know, always.
No, because God drops that dream in your heart for that season, and you think to yourself, the entirety of the dream has to happen in X amount of days, or else somehow I've missed it. And yet, if we see the dream as a journey and it not just be due, but it be to live that dream.
Yeah. And sometimes God's timing is just so different than ours.
It is.
We, Jennifer and I both shared about our infertility journeys. Mm-hmm. And it took years for us to be like, oh, that was the dream that God was bringing on all along. But I think you know, the faithfulness in that season of waiting is so important because I think of like Hagar and Sarah and Abraham and, you know, Abraham and Sarah knew the dream for their lives, but they didn't know the details.
No.
And I think when the dream is delayed or it looks different than we think as humans, and I am speaking from experience because I've done this so often, we start to want to just fill in the details mm-hmm. with our own ideas. And I think there's a discipline in dreaming of saying, okay, yes, this is a dream, but I'm not going to assume I know all the details. I'm going to stay open and curious and keep asking God, okay, that's the dream, but what does it look like today?
Yeah.
And that's where sometimes it is just resting, getting stronger for what's ahead. You know?
Yeah. And allowing God to speak in that dormant season so that, because I'm telling you, when I think about planting seeds, I believe that God plants those seeds, but sometimes I want to water them, hover over them, mm-hmm. make sure that they grow at the appropriate time, and then jerk them out when I'm ready. And seeds need a season to grow.
Yeah.
Right? It really does. And sometimes it needs a season of death where it's under the ground and it's there and it's winter. And yet it's going to push up at the appropriate time. Wow. Okay, guys, just keep teaching me. I'm here. Just keep teaching me.
So what's going to help us with our God-sized dream? You know, what's going to help us? And the only thing that I can think about for me personally is I have been known to want to kick down the door of opportunity with my 3-inch heels and force things. And it has never gone well.
Yeah.
So I think for me in this season where the dreams kind of seem a little bit far off, it's just waiting instead of forcing.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing worse than being in a field where you're used to getting rewards on a certain day. So when I became a writer, one of the things that was really hard for me is I was used to a paycheck on Friday. I was used to affirmation and pats on the back. And suddenly I'm in this place to where God has called me to write words where those words may or may not show up, not just for weeks, but years. Mm-hmm. Not only that, I'm in my office, my home office, in my yoga pants, in my ponytail, in my t-shirt, you know, and there's nobody around saying, go, Susie, go. And that's incredibly tough.
It is. I think a lot of dreaming is doing the boring stuff.
Yeah.
Day after day after
showing
day.
Showing up
and saying, all right, I'm going to do this today, even if it's hard, even if it's boring, even if I don't feel like it, because I know that faithfulness is part of, you know, what we're called to. And there are seasons where it doesn't look like that. But I think for me, this season right now is just saying, okay, I'm going to show up and do what I can every day. And over time, all those little things turn into big things.
Right.
Yeah. You
know? Well, and I was just thinking about, like, with my dream for writing, you know, part of my dream involved a lot of no's, you know, and they were
so
the absolutely right no's so that I could get to the perfect yes and the perfect time and season for me to write something that I would be proud of.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of shut doors.
Yeah.
But that was still a part of the process.
Right.
And I think about Joseph and being in the pit and his brothers hating him, all of these things that happened to him, but he still had this dream in his heart. It just took a really long time for those things to unfold.
Yeah.
And he went through a lot of heartache in the process.
And I'm sure that there were days, especially when he's sitting in a pit or he's in a jail cell, or he's a slave and he's looking at God and saying, did I really hear you correctly?
Right.
You know, did you really speak that? And I think also of the seasons factor. That's really helpful for me, Holly, because there was a season for me where being a mom that was healthy and whole was a huge God-sized dream. And I'm telling you, it seemed even beyond something that could happen. There have been other times when it's been writing books. There's been times where a God-sized dream might be in a season where I just want to scrape away everything and get alone with God and reconnect with Him.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think really the ultimate God-sized dream is making life an intimate adventure with Jesus.
Mm.
You know, and what that looks like in each season is usually what we call the dream.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually just how the dream plays out. But I think the dream is God Himself.
Yeah.
And that's freeing, because it's like, then if the outcome isn't what I expect, or if there's something that comes up that's a hard obstacle or whatever it is, it's not failure because I'm still living the dream. Yeah. It just looks different right. than I expected it to in this season.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a problem when we start comparing our dream to others? Yeah. I mean, I know there is, but what does that look like?
Absolutely. Well, I think if the dream is writing, then mm-hmm. we naturally look at other writers mm-hmm. and say, okay, this must be what the dream looks like.
Yeah.
I've wrestled a lot with that because I'm an introvert. And so living out my dream looks different than yeah. some of my wonderful friends who love to be on stage and engage so well with big groups where I'm built more for one-on-one and quiet. Yeah. And so I think that can be something too, if we're experiencing discouragement in a dream, yeah. pausing and saying, have I accidentally added things on to this dream that God never intended for me to yeah. have to carry?
Yeah. I mean, just if I look around this room right now, even though we're all introverts to some degree, mm-hmm. we're still, our approach is different mm-hmm. in how we minister and in life. And I think that's really good for us to know is that that's what makes us unique as the body of Christ is there are going to be those people who are maximizers. God, He designed you that way. You jump in with both feet, you see all angles, and you are running after your dream. And then there's those others who are in a place of just deliberation to listen for the Lord, to make a plan, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
and we need all of them. We right. need everybody in that.
And I think when I compare the most, that's when I'm the most dissatisfied and discontented and just downright miserable.
Yeah.
Because my dream's not supposed to look like anybody else's. It's yeah. mine, you yeah. know, and I need to be okay with the timing of that.
Yeah. There have been times when I have spoken to groups and I have said to them, this thing that you carried in today, that you've carried for a long, long time, that feels as familiar as your arm or your fingers, and it feels like it's part of you, but it's cumbersome. Leave it behind. And I think comparison is one of those things, is that if you're right now listening and you're saying, you know, I think my dream is supposed to look like yours, Susie, or I think my dream is supposed to look like Holly's or Jennifer's or my next door neighbor's or whoever, please put that down. God is a unique and individual God. He knows you. He knows the plans He has for you. And the only voice that you need to listen to in this instance is His.
Yeah. And each one of us is God's dream.
Yeah.
Like Susie, God dreamed you up and He is delighted when you are fully Susie. You know, Jennifer, yeah. same of you, me, you know, yeah. and so I think it's fun to think of that too, that each of us individually is a God-sized dream.
Yeah.
That's that really came cool. from His heart.
Yeah.
And when we lean into who He made us, He delights in that. It's not a yeah. disappointment that mm-hmm. we don't look like someone else. It's exactly how He planned it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's freeing too.
Yeah. It took a really long time for me to understand that and embrace that. And I think I walked in a shadow of insecurity for so many years because I did not embrace that truth. And that is freeing.
Yeah.
It really is.
So as we think about practical steps, as we're moving into this new year, what is a practical step that we can think about when it comes to our God-sized dreams?
Well, I would encourage you to draw a timeline and to write down, this is where I'm at right now. And this is the dream that God has spoken into my heart. And then I want you to take a look back and see how far He's brought you in that dream. And I want you to celebrate every part of what He's done. And I'm going to make that really practical. For me, there was a time when I was so insecure that there's no way I could have been or done any of the things that God is asking me to do. And so if I'm going to look back, I'm going to start at that insecure woman and say, look, Lord, mm-hmm. look at what you did. Mm-hmm. Look at what you've put inside of me. Look how far that you have brought me. And that was part of the God-sized dream too, whether it was motherhood or writing or speaking or wrapping around women who are in the trenches. That was part of the dream. So I take time to celebrate that. And then on the timeline going forward, Celebrate where you are right now, but ask him for one small step. Take your eyes off of the big picture for a minute and just say, what is one small step I can take today with your help? And do that. Begin to plan that. Break that down.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I love that you pointed out, we tend to think of dreams in terms of what we've done.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful to think of dreams in terms of who we've become.
Yeah.
Because that's really powerful. And I think then share your dream with someone.
Yes.
It's so tempting to keep our dreams entirely to ourselves because they are probably one of the most vulnerable things we can say out loud.
It is.
You know, but find someone you trust and say, hey, I've got this little dream. I don't know what it means, but I feel like God's put something on my heart. He's drawing me toward this. And would you just be praying for me as I figure out what is coming next? Because I can guarantee you will deal with the 3 D's, delays,
yes,
detours, and discouragement.
Can I add a fourth one?
Yes.
Dream poppers.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. You're going to have somebody in your life. And it could be somebody very close to you that looks at you and they just take like a pen and they pop that dream and say, I don't think you can do that. Or what makes you think you can do that? Or how are you going to do that? So I think that's important too, to know that that's part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be critics.
Yes.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Even yesterday, someone replied to my blog post criticizing something I wrote, thinking they were forwarding it.
Oh, no.
So that was fun.
Oh. Ow. So
that never stops happening. And thankfully, I am in a season now where I can laugh at that.
Right.
But it also helps to tell save people like y'all. And I told my sister, I was like, what in the world? So, you know, but that's just part of the package, too, that there are critics. And
that's okay.
You just keep going anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Their voice doesn't get to be louder than God's.
No.
That we've said that before. That's really important to hold on to.
I was just thinking about what you were saying, the steps. But I think that for me, what's been really important is like having gratitude looking forward.
Yeah.
And then also looking back and saying, God, thank you for what you've done in me. But just to look at my dreams with gratitude, even though some of them are delayed or haven't happened yet. But just to be so thankful that God's ordering every single step that I take.
Yeah. That's really, really good. So what's coming up next?
All right. Next week is going to be fun. It is called When Our Butt Gets in the Way. Not B-U-T-T, but 1-T, butt.
Yes, we are excited about that. And the resource I want to share today is my book, You're Made for a God-Sized Dream.
It's so good.
There's also a companion devo called Opening the Door to Your God-Sized Dream. So if you're listening and your heart was pounding a little bit and you think, maybe this is the year, maybe this is the year that I want to take some next steps in this dream that I'm carrying in my heart, then I think those books will be helpful because I wrote them as I went through all the ups and downs of my own God-sized dreams. So we wanted to be sure you know about those.
Yeah, and we'll hope you'll join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group and share your God-sized dream so we can cheer you on. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.